first question to you is that what motivated Australian government to propose this tougher penalty for social media companies?
Well, these discussions we've been having for quite a number of years, really globally, about social media companies, about misinformation and disinformation, about, you know, should we regulate, should we legislate? How can we bring social media companies more in line, particularly when, you know, there are these very high profile incidences that do occur, and, you know, we need in some way to have mechanisms to have really swift action, for example, to remove materials that, you know, are damaging to, you know, their sharing and resharing and viewing is particularly damaging. So, you know, that's one such example of why we do need some sort of a mechanism in place to ensure that there is swift action when we need social media companies to take action, that it happens swiftly. And launching legal proceedings, injunctions, it can be quite a lengthy process. We are very fortunate in Australia that we do have the eSafety Commissioner's Office, and her office has you know, very good legislation and mechanisms that they can utilise. But still, you know, the delay, the time it takes, the compliance or lack of compliance from social media companies all can have a big impact when content keeps getting shared and reshared and viewed online. And the reach of that, of course, you know, it is major. So it's important that we do have the right regulation and laws in place should we need to use those. But also, we do need to do what, you know, the Prime Minister has called upon the social media companies to do, and that they should be, you know, much more socially aware of, you know, their role in misinformation and spreading that to large numbers. So that, you know, social responsibility aspect is a really key point that Prime Minister Albanese has also outlined in his discussions on this topic recently.
So eSafety Commissioner said went to the court to order to remove this stabbing incident on last week. So we're talking to three topics on this one. The government want to remove this particular video to X. But what about, they say, information and disinformation law. So that's totally three different separate topics.
Well, it's a very, very difficult and complex area to, in effect, you know, place the platforms in relation to the sheer volume of, you know, information, content, imagery, videos that are shared online. It's a really tricky area and problem. However, if it is left unmonitored and unchecked, there are all sorts of, you know, pieces of information that just aren't factually accurate that are being shared, and people are relying upon this information to make key decisions. And we've seen that really quite starkly during the COVID-19 pandemic. That really, really shone a light onto the power that these platforms have in, you know, the sharing of information that, you know, really about the vaccine, about COVID itself, about treatment. So that, you know, term fake news really came to prominence several years ago. But it's really important because in relation to public health, in relation to safety, we've also seen it in relation to, you know, integrity with regards to the electoral systems, but also more broadly when certain groups, social groups have been, you know, pinpointed as being a particular problem or an outsider, that also affects our cohesion within our society. So there are major risks to our democracy by, you know, misinformation and disinformation known, you know, as fake news. What we've seen really interestingly is that, you know, this generation of young people are much more aware of fake news and the need to fact check their information, their need to, you know, engage with a range of sources before they make up their mind. And, you know, I've done some direct research with young people who, you know, they do have this awareness compared to other generations, much more so about fake news and the dangers of that. But if people are relying upon it to make decisions, it's really significant that there is some sort of a monitor check. But what we must ensure is that, you know, we don't encroach on freedom of expression, which is a really, really important right that we have in a democracy. But there does need to be, for safety reasons, a check or monitor over information also, without encroaching or breaching too much on freedom of expression. But it is a balancing act.
So we already have Online Safety Act. How would the proposed law impact a social media platform that fails to remove misleading content?
Well, this discussion has come up before in Australia, and there has been, you know, a lot of discussion and debate about, you know, what measures are the most appropriate. We know that social media companies make a lot of money from what they do. And in research that I have conducted, particularly in relation to children and online harms and the lack of redress that they have received following issues that have occurred on platforms, we know that a lot slips through the net in relation to social media platforms. Their inaction, the delay, the very, very slow process, you know, the fact that, you know, initially the eSafety Commissioner, a complaint needs to be made, then they need to interact with the company. Some companies do and are reported as being better than others in removing content or addressing issues. However, some other platforms are reported as being particularly slow. And what occurs then is often the need to engage, you know, in the legal apparatus that we have, you know, through, you know, injunctions and the like, which involves the courts. And that is, you know, often can be a protracted process. And in the meantime, as I mentioned earlier, you've got the sharing, resharing, the engagement with the material in society. So, you know, any delay really does have a knock-on effect in this area. Another aspect when we're talking about, you know, evolving the law and regulation in this space is that, you know, platforms, technology is always evolving. So we do need to ensure that while it's difficult to keep one step ahead of all of the developments that we have, we do need to be, you know, have an element of, you know, flexibility and, you know, react to the changes that we see. And it is important that consultation is done with, you know, wider society, the platforms, you know, the service providers, the service users. And that's something that, you know, the platforms themselves have been quite critical of the government when this discussion has come up previously, that there was a lack of consultation. It is something that the government needs to be mindful of in bringing the platforms on a journey with them to see the best possible results, because at the end of the day, we need compliance on this, and it's